Greetings to each one. What a blessing to be here this morning. Thank you for the thoughts that were already shared. I really appreciated the singing service this morning. The song that stuck out to me was one that blessed me was, I think it was 898, Lord Speak to Me. Verse 4, O use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt, and when and where, until thy blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share. It's my prayer this morning that the Lord could just bless the few thoughts I have, somehow bless some of you with them. They've blessed me. Maybe we'll just open with a prayer here. Eternal Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord, and the tremendous power that is therein, Father. And we thank you for the freedom we have with it, Lord, and for blessing us in this way. Father, I pray that you would help us not take it for granted and to be more thankful, Lord. Father, we're humbled when we think of the many ways you've blessed and provided for us. Father, we pray that you would be with us this morning again and open your word to us and speak to us from your word. We just pray for your blessing in your precious name. Amen. So, a few of the thoughts that were going through my mind this morning. I was blessed as I read in James there, James chapter 1, and I thought it might just be a blessing if we just kind of go through that chapter and look at that a little bit, see what we can draw out from there. So if you would, just turn with me to James chapter 1, and we'll read through it, and then we'll go back through and maybe draw a few points out and see if there's something that we can learn. If I had to title, it would just be a few faith-strengthening thoughts, maybe. I'm not sure that might fit. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace and the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a natural glass, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, let's go back to verse 2 through 4. We'll read that again, and we'll also go to Colossians here then. My brethren, count it all joy, verse 2 here, when you fall into diverse temptations, which would be various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So let's read Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering. I think we all know what patience is in some way. Sometimes it can be endurance or bearing long with someone. And also in Hebrews 6, there's a beautiful passage there. Hebrews 6, 9 through 15. Let me turn there. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence in the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12 here, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them that who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So we see that the promise was obtained through faith and patience. So patience is a very important part in our spiritual life and our spiritual walk. So we see to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So verse 5. So count it all joy when ye are tempted and tried, because when we are tempted and tried, we know that the Lord is working patience in our lives. So James 1:5-8, Let's read that again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we see that we need to ask in faith, not doubting or wavering. Because if there's doubting and wavering, according to the scriptures here, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So let's read Proverbs 2, verse 6. So we can see here this is a beautiful chapter on wisdom, and I'd like to read a portion of it. Let's maybe start at verse 1 here and just read a little bit of this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wow. In verse 6 here, we can see where wisdom cometh from. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's such a blessing. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. We see how the Lord takes care of those who love and fear him. Let's skip down to verse 10. When wisdom entereth in to thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. So ask wisdom of God, for it is true wisdom, and ask in faith. So James chapter, let's go to verses 9 through 11 here in James again. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 12. First Timothy 6, 9 through 12. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, which is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, there's patience in there, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So what I got from that is, earthly riches shall not profit us in the light of eternity. Why would we let them control us now? That was just made me think, you know, we're here and we need a, it takes money for us to live, and it's so easy to get caught up in trying to make money or make life easier or security or many of those things that we feel like money gives, but in the light of eternity, it doesn't, riches don't profit us anything, so why would we not spend our time preparing ourselves in a better way for eternity? That was a challenge to me there. So verses 12 through 15 in James here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we can see that if we give in to temptation, the end result is death. First Corinthians 10:13, let's read that. So we see, here's a promise from God with the temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. But with the temptation, he will also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I think that's a beautiful promise to us when we face temptation or something in many areas. You know, there's many ways that the devil can try to attack us. So it also stuck out to me there. It says, God cannot be tempted with evil in verse 13 there, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It made me think of one of the brothers here recently was talking about being deceived and how that we're deceived. We allow ourselves to be deceived. It's a choice. It's not like all of a sudden one day we're deceived. It's choices that lead up to that. And I believe that this is a lot the same way. I think it ties in. So, verses 12 through 15, what I kind of put that in a nutshell, endure temptation with patience. The Lord shall reward them that endure and love him. So verse 16 through 18, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. So verse 19 through 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. This is something that speaks to me very much, because it's my flesh is not very quick to hear. Does it seem like the first thing that wants to happen when I, yeah, some reason I always want to speak and not hear the other person out, and it's a weakness of mine. I pray that the Lord could help me. But we see how it's not a human tendency to be swift to hear and slow to speak. I think it's normally reversed, swift to speak and slow to hear. And yeah. Then verse 23 through 25. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I believe looks like verse 25 in my mind somewhat sums up the three verses before it and tells us what it looks like when somebody is a hearer and a doer. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And then verse 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's an amazing verse that hits very close to home. We just read in verse 19 here, be swift to hear and slow to speak. And if we cannot bridle our own tongue, we deceive our own heart, and our religion is vain. Then pure religion, which would be holy religion and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's amazing. So, some of my thoughts on verse 18 and 19, 26 and 27 here. I was going to read John 15 yet, before I get too far ahead of myself. John 15, 18 and 19. If the world hate you, ye know it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So, we see in James there that pure religion is to visit the fatherless and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What does that mean? I know it's easy in our minds. In my mind, it's easy to, the world is out there, or it's this or that. But it can be how we think, how we live, our attitudes, things that are not of God. And it says unspotted, not one spot. That was a challenge to me as I read that. Yeah, so I think that's all I have. Hopefully someone was able to find a little bit of something there that blesses them, blessed me. Thank you.